You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey friends, it's Adam. You are listening to The Conversation. I hope this finds you well. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I am holding my favorite Starbucks drink of choice as we speak, so life can't be much better here on this end. But I just have one quick word of encouragement before we get into today's episode. My word of encouragement slash challenge is this. If you have not been to a counselor recently, and when I say recently, I'm talking the last 12 months. If you have not been to a counselor recently, my challenge is to sign up, reach out to a Christian counselor right now today, and make an appointment. Yes, I'm talking to you. If you have not done so recently, also known as ever, I want to challenge you to do that. Reach out to a couple of friends and say, hey, I need a tune-up. Is there a counselor locally that you would recommend? Reach out to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, I'm looking for a counselor. Would you have a name or two that you can point in my direction? Sign up today. Go find a counselor that you can meet up with. And if you're saying to yourself, I'm good, I don't need a counselor, this is the perfect time to go and meet with a counselor. I've done so for two different seasons of my life, for about a year total. And so actually, I'm challenging myself with this. It's been about 4 or 5 months since I've seen my own counselor, and I feel really good. I feel like I'm really, really healthy, which again is the perfect time to go and see a counselor. So I just want to challenge you to do that. Regardless if you're a mechanic, a stay-at-home parent, a banker, a teacher, a doctor, I don't care who you are. As a friend, I'm just telling you, you're pretty messed up and you need to go and see a counselor. And if you don't feel like you're messed up, again, you still need a counselor. So that is my word of encouragement. The greatest gift that we can give other people, the greatest gift that we can give our family, our loved ones, our friends, our businesses, our staffs, our churches, our coworkers, is a healthy version of ourselves. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Today's episode, my gosh, you're in for a treat. I sat down with Sam Acho. Sam is amazing. And usually I do an interview and you don't hear it for a while. I actually did this interview last week on Inauguration Day of all days. But Sam is a longtime NFL football player. He recently retired and he's also most recently written a book. His brother wrote a book recently as well. Both of the books are exploding right now, absolutely exploding. I talk about it. Even here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you can get Sam's books on the shelves at Target. I don't have my books. I got them online at Target, but I've never had them in the store at Target, which means that his book is doing quite well. And so our interview, we talked about taking off the masks in our lives. And we actually mentioned counseling. And so I thought the challenge was perfect, but Sam, he graciously shares about the mask that he had to take off in his own life. He shares his story, which is powerful. I know you're going to be encouraged. Again, if there's a friend that you think would connect with this episode, a friend that you think needed to hear this, please share it with them. But as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Sam, huge fan of yours. So incredibly excited. I want to welcome you to the podcast today.
No, thank you so much, man. I'm so glad to be here, Adam. We're joking earlier because I knew I was supposed to record something today. For whatever reason, it's been an interesting last couple of weeks. I had no idea who it was with. And like, and we, you know, we kind of scheduled a few weeks ago. And
yeah.
And but the last few weeks for me and my family has been crazy in a lot of ways. But God is good. So anyways, when you called, I was so excited because number one, I knew who it was. And then number two, we got a chance, you know, we weren't missing out because I know this is going to be special.
Yeah. Well, again, just so grateful for you. And I told this before recording, your book right now is just exploding. I feel like I'm seeing you everywhere. How has that been, that specific part? Has that just been surreal for you?
Yeah, it's been exciting. We were talking earlier how even just seeing the messages, some people have read the book and they said, man, this chapter really changed my life. Or, man, when you talk about this, this was amazing, right? We're recording this on Inauguration Day. And, yeah. and there's a book where I talk about my interaction with presidents. It's called, or there's a chapter, excuse me, called chapter two. It's called Chilling with the President. And just a week or two ago, well, maybe more than two weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail. And it was from the office of George W. Bush, who I mentioned in my book. And I sent him a copy. I didn't know if he was going to get it or not. Well, he got the copy. And then he sent a letter back saying, Sam, thank you so much for the shout out in the book. It looks like it's really successful. Laura and I are so grateful. Thanks for the thoughtfulness. Signed, George Bush. And I'm like, this is crazy. I'm going to get it framed. I'm getting it framed. I don't even frame things a lot. I'm getting this framed.
That's incredible. I told you too, like when I saw your book show up in the local Target here in South Dakota, I'm like, bring it on, bring it on. And then the next time was even cooler. I got there and there was no copies left. And I was like, man, I just love this. Just appreciate you again from afar. Sam, I want to jump in just to your story. You know, people might know High Points. You're an author now. You played professional football. But if you just want to share even hometown, just kind of ready, set, go, and I'll pepper you with a couple questions throughout this.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I grew up in Dallas, Texas. My parents were born and raised in Nigeria. Anytime anyone asks me about my story, I always start with my parents.
That's it.
Because they were, without them, I wouldn't be where I am now. And yes, it's true for everyone. You won't even exist without your parents, but they immigrated from Nigeria to America. And yes, I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas, but more than anything, I was raised in a Nigerian household. I use those in quotes because it wasn't like a black household or white household, not even an American household. It was a Nigerian household. So yes. When I say that, imagine the smells of the foods, right? Goat meat, oxtail, the soup, we call it pepper soup. Like there's fried plantains. That was the smells, even the language. My name is Samuel. My middle name is Onye Di Kachi. It means who, and I'll say it again, Onye Di Kachi. It means who is like unto God. Or another way to say it is, there is no one who can compare to God. So even at home, I wasn't Sam or Sammy. At home, it was Onye Di is what I was called. And so Nigerian household growing up. But at the same time, I went to a predominantly white school. A college preparatory, all boys, private school in Dallas, where friends of mine scored perfect scores on the SATs. I went to Harvard, Stanford, Yale. One of my friends won the Scripps National Spelling Bee. That was my school. But then the church I went to was a predominantly black church on the south side of Dallas in South Oak Cliff. And so I grew up in a lot of ways in three different worlds. And to add to that, every Christmas, my family and I would actually go to Nigeria and spend 2-3 weeks in Nigeria and see family, see friends, see relatives, and spend Christmas and New Year's in Nigeria.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a, I think for me, racially wise, one of the things that I have an Ethiopian son, so I'm not completely removed from it, but I think it's easy to look at someone who's African American and just assume that they have the same story. And it's like, no, very, very different story. Each person has a very, very different story. My son's story is very different than someone who's come from Haiti. It's just every single person's got a different story. And so that's your upbringing. So you go through school. What happens there as far as, are you kind of thinking sports? Like what's kind of share that path from there?
So I wasn't thinking sports at all. Growing up, another piece of the Nigerian household, in addition to the oxtail and goat meat, is education. Education is of the utmost importance. And so my parents' primary focus for us, it was twofold, really. It was, well, you can call it threefold. Our faith in Jesus. So like God governs all, guides all, number one. Number two, the respect of family. So respect mom and dad. Know where your brothers and sisters are at all times.
Yes.
Family. And then number three was education. Education, for my parents, that was always the way out. That's how they came to America, based on it furthering their education. That's how they continued what they were doing. And so I tell that mini story to say that football was never the focus. The focus was always honoring God and doing your studies. So much so that, as I mentioned, my parents put us in, it was a number one rated private school, not only in Dallas, in America. It's the number one rated, number one. Number two, so much so that this school, I wanted sophomore or junior year, I'm getting better at football. I want to train more. I want to do some work, extra workouts after practice. Well, I wanted to go do my workouts, and they had closed the weight room because it was finals week. And I'm sitting there like, guys, I studied. I don't need to study. I want to get some workouts in. Nope, it's finals week. Weight room closed. You all go study. So much so, and that was school. So much so that with my family, I remember getting maybe either a B minus or a C plus on an exam. And this was during the time where I'd just gotten right before my senior year, going into my senior year, is when I got discovered, for lack of better terms. That's when all the football school. Yeah. I went to a football camp at the University of Southern California, and that's when I was discovered. People realized, oh, wow, this guy's pretty good. I got offered scholarships from USC with Pete Carroll, but also every other school, and I talk about that in the book as well. So I got discovered. I'm getting ready to go play football in college, getting scholarships left and right, and I got a C in one class. I usually had A's, maybe B's, had a C. I bring my report card home. And my dad looks at me and says, son, if I see another C on this report card, I will take you out of football. That's my dad. So lo and behold, there was not another C on my report card, not until college, that is. But even in college, I went to the University of Texas. I immediately went to the business honors program, not just the business school, but the honors program.
Yeah.
Won an award called the Campbell Trophy. So it was the Campbell Trophy, which is the academic Heisman yep. Trophy. So I tell that entire story to say that education for us was the foundation, alongside with our faith in Jesus and valuing family.
No, that's incredible and such a powerful thing. And what your folks instilled in you in that is game changing in every way possible. So you end up, you graduate, you school wise, did you finish college at that point?
I did. I graduated in 3.5 years. I graduated early so that I could go and train for the combine.
Yeah.
Because most people in the spring, they train for the NFL combine. So we had finished my senior year. We finished the season, and I started getting calls from different agents saying, hey, you may be pretty good. You may be able to get drafted. We want to represent you. And so I was trying to decide, do I want to sign with an agent? Do I want to just choose my workout facility? How do I go about this process? And so the first thing I wanted to decide, or the first thing that I decided, was that I wanted to graduate early so that I wouldn't have to shuttle back and forth during the spring, or I wouldn't put it off and say, I'll graduate later, because that's not my personality. And so to answer your question, I did graduate. I graduated in 3.5 years with a double major, business honors and marketing, won the Campbell Trophy, which is the academic Heisman Trophy, and then went on to start training for the combine, the NFL combine, in which I got it by God's grace. And I can tell the story in a bit, but by God's grace, I set a record at the combine for a drill called the 3-cone drill, the L cone drill. And so that's my story. That's my story.
that's incredible. So you end up going to the NFL. If you share that part of things, and then after playing, share that as well. All of this stinking good. Like,
no. So I ended up getting drafted, and I feel like I wish we had more time. Well, maybe y'all go get the book. Go get the book.
That's right.
Because there's so much depth and so much intricacy, and God's kindness is woven throughout every single story you're hearing. I wish I had time to really dive into it. Time won't allow me to do that, but I go to the combine and I perform well, go to the Senior Bowl and I do well at the Senior Bowl, go to my pro day, which is localized from school to school. I do well at pro day. And I thought I was going to be a first round pick. I was told, hey, Sam, if you do well at those three events you just mentioned, the combine, the Senior Bowl and your pro day, your stock is going to rise.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to get drafted higher. And I did. I did all the things. And round one came and round one went and nobody called. And that was on Thursday, Well, round two and three is on a Friday. And so I said, okay, well, surely I'll be a second or third round pick. Every single coach I've talked to, from Mike Tomlin with the Pittsburgh Steelers to some guys with the Raiders, Patriots, all Tampa Bay, all these coaches said I'm going to be a second or third round pick. My agent had affirmed it. All everything told me. And then on top of that, I'd done well at all these events.
Yeah.
Well, second and third round is on a Friday. Second and third round came. Second and third round went. And I wasn't picked. And so at that point, I'm sitting here like, all right, God, they done lied to me every which way. Who am I supposed to believe? And more so, I said, and more so, I think God knew that my desire to play in the NFL was not selfish. James 4:2 talks about why are there quarrels and fights among you? It's because you don't have these things. Well, you don't have them because you don't ask for them. And then it goes on to say, you ask and don't receive because you ask selfishly to spend on your own desires. God knew that it wasn't my desire. I wasn't a selfish desire. I prayed that night after I didn't get drafted in the second or third round on day two. I said, God, you know my desire is to give you glory. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to glorify your name. So I don't care if I don't care where I get drafted. I don't even care if I even do get drafted. God, just give me a chance to bring your name glory. And I said, amen. And yes, tears were shed during that prayer, as you can imagine. And the next day, which was round four through seven, it was a Saturday. That morning, my phone rings and I got drafted to the Arizona Cardinals. And I was excited. I was elated. Got drafted there. I played there for 4 years. That contract expired. Went to play for the Chicago Bears for 4 years. That contract expired. Then I had a brief stint in Buffalo with the Bills. So I'm rooting them on.
Yeah, yeah. I am as well.
Yeah, then I finished off my career with Tampa Bay. Last year, I finished up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Crazy. I just want to ask one question. Looking back at draft day and the draft days, actually, plural, obviously that has to suck to not get drafted where you wanted to. What do you feel like the takeaway is now? I mean, I think anybody listening has had a moment where specifically when you thought like, this is a done deal, like this is like, I mean, I got this. And then no, actually it's going to look a lot different. Is there anything there that you just like, man, if I could just tell myself that night as I'm praying, this is what I'd want to tell myself.
To let go. I would tell myself to let go of the expectations, let go of the striving, let go of the trying to make things happen my way, just to let go. That's what I would tell myself, because the amount of angst that I put myself through, I'm talking about on draft day. Work hard, right? I worked extremely hard and I prayed hard, trust me. But then at some point you have to let go. I don't know. I'm for whatever reason, I'm holding this microphone little thing on my hand.
That's okay.
I don't know why. But for anyone watching, if I know you, we listen to this podcast, if you can see this podcast, literally, like, we go, and God just, like, let go.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Let go. And so, I would tell myself to let go. God's got it under control. And that's what I saw. I didn't know I was going to get drafted to the Cardinals. They hadn't called me. I hadn't met with them. That was not one of the teams that I expected to sign with. I knew no one from that team. But that was where God wanted me. God had opened up a door in Arizona for me to make an impact on the field, for me to make an impact off the field, and for me to grow.
Yeah. Right?
And even selfishly, or maybe better yet, God's kindness. I'm from Texas, y'all. I'm from Dallas, Texas. My parents are from Nigeria. I went to school in Austin. I don't like cold weather. And so for me to go to Arizona, which like on Christmas, it was 100 degrees some years, I was overjoyed. And so let go. God's got better plans than you could ever imagine.
I look at those type of moments in my life. And at the time, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. And now I look back and I'm like, God, it's that word kindness. I feel like I've been saying that a lot about God too. It's your kindness. You're just so kind, God. Like, you're just so kind that you would let me experience that. And yet you'd be with me and you'd help me process that. And even for myself, there's been a couple of times where God's brought healing for some of those, from some of those dark places. And yet he's done so in a way that is just so kind. And I look back and I'm like, what I'm facing today, now it's like, oh, this is nothing. We got this. Like, we went through that. We'll be fine in this storm. And you get to the place where I find myself like, now I look back and I still can't say that I'm thankful it happened, but I can see so much good in what happened. And it's like, God, again, your kindness, even when things go completely the opposite of how I want them to, you're just so kind. And that's just something that God's been teaching me so much lately. Yeah. Sam, football comes to an end. Was that good, bad, otherwise, and how that kind of went for you? Share that.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard. And funny enough, the hard part was saying yes to football. Here's what I mean by that. After 2018, and this might be around the time where you were writing your book or going through some of the stuff that you went through, which I'm excited to check out your book now that we talked a little bit before this. 2018 was a tough year for me physically, spiritually, emotionally, in so many different ways. And I'd gotten an injury and I was out for the season. And during that time, I was realizing that football wasn't exactly what I had been making it.
Yeah.
I was more than just a football player, but there was this internal battle because all that I had known, or at least I had heard, was, hey, you go play football. And so it got to a point, I got released from the Bears after my fourth year there, after the injury that, you know, I still wasn't all the way healthy, but it's like, that's nature of the game.
Yeah.
And I was a free agent for a long time, for the first time in my life. That's the longest I've been a free agent for, and was struggling a little bit because a lot of my identity, as much as I say my identity is in Christ, like it had slipped into football a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had a workout with the Saints, the New Orleans Saints, and for whatever reason they didn't sign me. I went and tried out with the Bills. I spent 2-3 weeks of training camp with the Bills, and for whatever reason they didn't sign me. And I remember, like 2 months after I got released from the Bills and no one else had called, I remember just being like, man, what are we doing this for? At this point, I was married with kids. They're almost 30 years old, played 8 years in the NFL. I'm like, what am I doing this for? I don't really want to play anymore. And so my wife and I had a conversation essentially saying, hey, look, I think I'm ready to hang them up. And she was like, no, I believe you still have an opportunity. And I'm like, what makes you think that? We've been sitting at this hotel in Buffalo for 2 months. Somebody said they're going to call me. They haven't called. What makes you think that? And she said, I just believe. And I was like, well, essentially, I don't. You know what I mean? Let's go home. And we had that conversation on a Friday, and I was ready to hang them up. And on Monday, I got a call to go sign with Tampa Bay. And I say it was hard to say yes because I remember praying, like, all right, God, maybe you're just give me an opportunity to say no to the NFL. Like, God, is that what it's going to be? Like, and then Tampa calls. And mind you, Tampa was the only team that had really had said, we're not interested at the time. A plethora of teams. So I'm like, is this my chance to say no? And as I prayed, all I could hear was say yes, say yes. And so I said yes. And mind you, like that period of time, those 2-3 months in Buffalo at a hotel at the Staybridge Suites in West Seneca, it was a hard, hard time letting go of football. And in God's kindness, he gave me another opportunity to play that finished the season in Tampa, played 8 games, did really well, played a lot of snaps. He gave me an opportunity to play. And I was at the end of the season. I remember getting ready to sit down with the head coach, Bruce Arians, for our exit interview. At the end of every season, every player sits down with the coach and you have an evaluation. Essentially, he'll tell you if he wants you back or not. And I was a little bit nervous because I'm like, what if he says he doesn't want me back and all these things? And I just prayed. I prayed before I walked into the meeting. And I just, as I was praying, I just felt the Lord say that you're going to play as long as you want to play. It's not a coach. You're going to play as long as you want to play. And that was all I heard. And all of a sudden the door opened. It was my turn to walk into the meeting room. I walk into the meeting room. And what does this coach, Bruce Arians, say? He says, Sam, we want you back. We want you back. And I was sitting there like, you want me back, bro? I wasn't even playing a ton on defense. I played on special teams. I didn't play a ton on defense this year. I was the last game of the season. I was this close to being inactive, meaning, yeah, I'm on the team, but I wasn't going to dress for the game, which had never happened. What do you mean you want me back? We love your leadership. We love the way you inspire. We love what you do. We want you back. And so I was like, that's pretty cool. And so I left. And it was just that confirmation that you're going to play as long as you want to play. And no, I didn't sign back with Tampa Bay. But and I'm rooting for them, kind of not though. But God had relieved me of that strong desire to play. I didn't really want to play anymore.
Wow.
I didn't want to play anymore. And so to answer your question, it was hard to say yes.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
How does a book come about? Tell us about the book. Like, is that something you were looking for, wanting to do? Ready, set, go on that.
No, was not looking for. I wanted to write a book. This book was brought about out of pain, struggle, doubt, and hardship. This book was birthed at a time when I didn't know who I was, and I didn't like who I was becoming. I think about a snake, how they shed. Like, there was stuff that needed to come off of me that in all reality, it was me, but it wasn't me. And I hate the snake example, but that's the best one to use. This thing had to shed off of me. I was sitting down with one of my friends right before this 2018 season, and I remember, it was a tumultuous time in my life where relationships with family members weren't going the way I thought. My relationship with my kids, I wasn't being the loving father that I know God had called me to be. I wasn't being the husband that I always desired to be. I was just struggling. And it was a week before training camp. I was driving back to Chicago to get ready for our upcoming season. And one of my really good friends, one of the few really good friends that I had, he happened to be in Chicago, and he texted me out of the blue. What's up, man? Where you at? And it's one of those times where it's like you need somebody to text you because you don't know what the heck is going on in your life.
Yes.
And I said, hey, I'm driving back to Chicago. I'm like 3 hours out. He said, hey, my flight leaves in 6 hours. Do you want to meet up by the airport and hang out? And I said, yes, please. So I drop off my family at the house. I meet up with my dude for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember how long it was. And I just start sharing with him what's been going on. Like, dude, I don't even know. Like, this is like, I'm not loving my wife well. I'm not loving my kids well. Like, I don't even know who I am. Like, what? I don't know what's going on. And I remember saying, man, maybe I just need to get back to football. Our season starts in a week. It's been a long off season. I haven't had my teammates, my friends, accountability. Let me just get back to football and then everything will be okay. And he looked at me and he said, Sam, if that's how you feel right now, I'm afraid of what happens when football ends for you. For that day when you retire, I'm actually concerned. And as I'm listening and thinking about all that's going on, I start to weep. I start to cry. I don't know where these tears had come from. This guy, one of my good friends, had never seen me cry. Starting to cry because I was struggling. I was wondering, like, when will I be all who God called me to be, the man God called me to be? I was in tears, crying.
Yeah.
And my friend looks at me. We were at Gibson's restaurant right close to in Rosemont, Illinois, right next to the airport. He looks at me in my sadness, my tears, in my ugly state, and he says, it's nice to see you, Sam. It's nice to see you. And I remember looking perplexed, like, what do you mean it's nice? Nice to see you,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah.
I've known you for years. I've never seen this side of you. It's good to know that you are human. Human. As he said that, I start to wipe the tears away. And he says, hey, you never know, to answer your question, he said, you never know, God may be writing a book in your life and you may only be on chapter 2. He would go on to recommend me talk to a counselor, which he had just finished sitting with. He had some family stuff going on, losing loved ones and all these things. So I sat with the counselor, and the very next week, the day we reported to training camp, that night, we report to training camp in the evening, that 2 hours away from Chicago, that morning, in a place called Bourbonnais, Illinois. That morning, I'm an hour north in Barrington, Illinois, sitting down with the counselor.
Crazy.
And he asked me a question. He says, Sam, before we get started, because I figured, you know, my dad's a therapist. I figured I'm going to just come in. I'm going to say what I need to say, say the right things, check the box and go home. After sitting there for a little bit, he said, Sam, I got a question for you. What do you do when you get angry? I looked at him and I said, well, it's easy. I just try not to get angry. He said, I'll ask you again, Sam, what do you do when you get angry? I said, I'll answer it again. I try not to get angry. He shakes his head. He says, Sam, everybody gets angry. So what do you do when you get angry? And I began to cry. He got up. He asked, he said, if it's okay, I'm going to put my hand on your chest. I need you to breathe. Because it wasn't a pretty cry. It was the, right? Breathe. I'm putting my hand on your chest. I'm going to put my hand on your stomach. I don't, if anyone knows belly breathing, right? My track athletes, you know, belly breathing. The, breathe. He steps back and he said, it's nice to see you, Sam. And oh, by the way, get used to hearing that. See, I figured, Adam, they had conspired. This must be some kind of like, did my friend tell you what was going on?
Exactly.
Get used to hearing that. And lo and behold, and y'all read about it when you get the book, when you get Let the World See You, I would hear that comment time and time again, but not only from counselors, from coaches, from teammates, from friends, as I started to let them see the real me. The response was this commonality of it is nice to see you. And so my desire, my goal, you talked about why.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Right. You asked me how it came about, but then why I wrote the book is because I think there's a beauty when we take off that mask, when we shed that gunk, when we let people see the real us. Yes, it can feel, you may feel naked. You may feel vulnerable. It may be a little bit fearful of that feeling, but there's a freedom that comes when you shed all of it. All of it. See, I had always, I felt like I was, had this weight on my back. I felt like I was carrying this weight for my entire life of perfection. I got to have it all together. I got to have the smile on and the football player and the Christian and the guy with all the answers and the husband and the dad. And it's heavy.
It is heavy.
It's heavy. And so this question, what do you do when you get angry? And this thing about nice to see you, I realized that I could actually take the weight off. And it was a breath of fresh air to those around me. And it's not just for me. That message is for you as well, the listener. Let the world see you. Your quirks, your fears, your desires, your joys, the things that make you laugh, let the world see you. Because when you do, you're going to provide people the freedom that not only you could never imagine, but that they could never imagine as well. And it works both ways. It's not just for them. It's for you as well. The other people around you will be free. But you will feel like this weight has been lifted off of your shoulders. You can be all who God called you to be.
Sam, that's incredible. And I think, first off, it sounds like we had a very similar 2018. I might have sat in a counseling office a couple of times myself, and it's amazing how, again, some of those hard places and places of brokenness end up bringing so much life and fruit. And thank God to have people in our lives who can call us out and who can speak into that place. Cause I gotta believe that friendship is not just a friend that you've had for a week. You've mentioned that you've known each other for a long time, but when you have those people who just know you and they're not impressed with you and they love you, they care for you. And when those people speak into you, it's priceless. Again, go get the book, Let the World See You. Sam, I got one last question. I'm going to turn, I feel like, totally in a different direction. You're somebody, just to honor you for a second, you're somebody that I've really looked to this past year when it comes to racism and racial reconciliation. Just to kind of ask a question that I got from somebody in my church this last week. He's a local coach that just reached out to me, and he said, "Adam, what should I do? Like when it comes to learning more about someone who doesn't look like me?" And he's reaching out to somebody who looks just like him, you know, asking the question. And so, if it's all right, I'm gonna share this question. I'll let you answer the question. What's someone who looks like myself, just with the divide in our country when it comes racially? Again, you're somebody that I've just been so grateful for. I feel like every time you post on Instagram or share anything about it, I'm like, okay, I got to learn. But even learning from my son, who I mentioned earlier, I could feel like on his behalf, it's like, God, would you just I don't even know what I need, but whatever I'm missing is what I want. But what would you share to that coach who's wanting to take a step? Like, man, I just don't know what to do. Do I grab coffee with someone who looks different than me? Do I read a book? What do I do?
Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You want an answer? There it is. Be a peacemaker. Be a bridge builder. Be a reconciler. Be a bridge.
Sam, I appreciate you. Go get a copy of this book. Go do yourself a favor and find Sam on Instagram and elsewhere and follow him. Just appreciate you. Thanks for being willing to go first in a lot of what you talk about in the book, specifically as a man. Thank you for going first for a whole bunch of people who are going to read your book and feel the permission and also the courage to maybe start taking off a mask that they're wearing, maybe have an honest conversation with a friend of just saying, hey, here's what I'm really feeling underneath my mask. Maybe it's even going to see a counselor. I talk about that often. One of the wisest things you can do, one of the most brave things you can do is go get help. We get help when our knee hurts, but when our soul hurts, our mind hurts, for some reason, gosh, we're just too tough to kind of go and process that kind of thing. And so thank you for going first so that we can follow behind you. Sam, huge honor. Appreciate you. I'll keep dancing every time I get the Target and I see your bookshelf completely empty because it's sold out. And so you got a fan here in South Dakota.
Thank you so much, Adam. Thanks for taking the time.
The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.